Ready to go? All right, good afternoon. This is Commissioner Brian Kalk. We're meeting in the 12th floor of the Capitol today for actually three informal hearings. The first one will be on case number PU-10218, the second one case number PU-10554, and the third one PU-12515. So the way we'll work it is we'll have the first informal, we'll open it and go around the table, do what we got to do, and then we'll close it and we'll immediately open the second one and so on down the way. With that, the first case is actually PU-10218, Bakken Link Pipeline, LLC. It's Commissioner Kramer's portfolio, so I'll open it up with any comments he might have, as well as Commissioner Fetch, and then perhaps go around the table and then get names for the record, and then we'll go for whatever guidance Kevin would have.
All right, very good. Thank you. Good afternoon, everybody. Welcome. Glad to be to this point. As Commissioner Kalk said, this is the Bakken Link siting case. We have cited this pipeline. These are just some amended routes, proposed amendments to the route, and I think this is a prudent course of action to do the notice of opportunity rather than go to a formal hearing. Of course, I think, does the public have till Friday?
The 31st,
okay, to request a formal hearing if they have a reason to do so, but to this point we've not heard any requests, so hopefully we can handle it in an informal way and move on. This is an important pipeline. We want to get this one built. In fact, just the other day, I was by the rail terminal at Freiburg, and it's looking pretty good. It's starting to look like it's ready to go, so I suspect they'd like to get a pipeline to it as well and start moving more of that Bakken crude to market. So hopefully it'll go well.
All right. Commissioner Fetch, any opening comments?
This is a big one, and I agree, and I'm glad it's at this point, and let's move it along.
All right, perfect. If we could, Pat, just go on the table to get who's all sitting here.
Sure. Patrick Fawn, Commission staff.
Mark Grumman, Commission staff.
James Todd, Bartlett West, engineer for Bakken Link Pipeline.
Steve Greiser, president of Bakken Link Pipeline.
Lawrence Bender, Fredrickson and Byron, representing Bakken Link Pipeline in this matter.
All right, perfect. Well, with that, we'll turn it over to the company, and you can go ahead and open it up.
Thank you, Commissioner Kalk. Just a little bit of background. As Commissioner Kramer indicated, this matter was before the commission previously. It was a hearing that took place in October of 2011. An order was entered by the commission on February 29th of 2012. That order entered a corridor certificate as well as a route permit. The corridor certificate and the route permit were conditioned upon Bakken Link obtaining from SHPO a final concurrence letter. In July of 2012, Bakken Link filed an amended request for a corridor certificate and a route permit because of some minor route changes. We submitted at that time a letter as well as an affidavit from Mr. James Todd at Bartlett and West. We also submitted some maps that showed the various reroutes as well as an index map, and we also submitted an addendum to the cultural resource study that was done that was prepared by Bartlett and West. And then finally we submitted at that time and amended wetland and water body crossings. Subsequent thereto, commissioners, we on August 27th, we submitted some additional documents, and it's a document that I referenced earlier, that the fact that the corridor certificate and the route permit were conditioned upon a final concurrence of SHPO. We did submit to the commission the final concurrence with some attachments. The way I'd like to proceed, if there's no objection from the commission, is I would just have James Todd with Bartlett and West take the maps that you have previously received, and then I've passed out another set labeling them. It starts with an index map and then map 1 through 8, and probably just have him walk through very quickly the route changes and why we're asking for the route changes, if that's appropriate.
Sounds reasonable. Sounds to me.
Fine. Okay. James, why don't we just start? I think the index map is on top. Probably we can lay that to one side and then just go through the maps that are attached. And you don't have to go through it in great detail, but perhaps you can just spend a little time explaining why we're asking for the reroutes.
Sure. And as you'll notice, the maps are in order from kind of the south end at Freiburg Rail Facility moving north, just so we kind of have a reference there. But and on the first page, you'll notice a lot of the route changes are very, very minor. you'll notice over where we call the Bellfield receipt point, that adjustment was because the fact that Whiting had run some pipelines across that same location. So our timing was kind of about the same as theirs, and they got their pipelines in first, so we needed to make an adjustment to the landowners obviously want us to butt up against their easement. The little jog that you see there is because there's a home, and because of the 500-foot requirement, there wasn't enough room to stay on the north side, so we had to kind of jog around down to the south side. So that's really the on that sheet, that's really the biggest change you'll notice. Some of the other part of that toward the south is because, again, the landowners wanted us to parallel Bridger pipeline, so we made some minor adjustments on that map. So
okay, let's go to the second map. Can I ask one question? Just for a reference on map one, you know, give us a distance on one of these, between the two lines on one of these, in one of these areas.
Maybe 200 feet. I would say the red and the black along the left side is maybe 1,250, 200 feet. Obviously,
how wide is the corridor, remind me?
200 feet.
Okay.
Of course, it's further. You're getting, you know, probably 500 or 600 feet when you're getting over along that Whiting alignment.
All right.
Just one question. So the red line is, am I to understand that's what was previously cited, and the black line overlaying in parts and distinct in other parts are the amendments or what's currently being proposed?
Yes. The red was what was submitted. The black shows what is the current proposed alignment.
Thank you.
Page
map
two. Oh, yeah. Okay. Map two, just it's a couple of real minor ones there. You can hardly even see them, and just simply landowner requests. And what happened is, as we went out there and we were working with landowners and kind of talking to them about the route, showing them a map, they had a pretty good idea where they thought it was going. But when we went out and started staking centerline, things changed. And they're going, oh, wait a minute, you know, how about you move it over closer to this fence, or, you know, get it away from my water tank or what have you. So that's what a number of these end up being. And so that's what this is, just a simple landowner request.
Map three.
On map three, a couple things to highlight. The first one, you'll see that we kind of jogged to the east there. It's probably a quarter mile or so. The landowner has a couple homes there that they wanted the pipeline to move further away from. So we said we can accommodate that, and so we moved it. Further north, you'll notice the Dunn, it gets up toward the Dunn, what we're calling the Dunn receipt point. In the original application, we had that pipeline going to the east toward Killdeer. That has now since been eliminated, and so that's why that red line is there, but that is not going to be constructed now. And so then we just have the Dunn receipt point, and you can see there is some minor changes there. And again, that's because as we're negotiating with the landowner on exactly where that receipt point is going to fall, as well as the pipeline coming in, there were some minor adjustments that needed to be made there.
So none of the changes affect going on to a new landowner, if you will?
No.
Okay.
Correct.
Well, just a quick question. Mark, do we have to officially enter this into any of the record?
It'll all have to be offered by the end. Yeah. We can do that at the end as one.
Yeah. Just make sure we don't forget that.
Yeah. Actually, the maps are already in as a result of the affidavit that was submitted with the documents, but I sure can offer it as well.
It's best. I think our new tradition has been to offer them so that they become exhibits.
Okay.
Yeah.
Just an inquiry, why did you decide to eliminate the route to Killdeer?
Is it okay if we take somebody out of order since it's
absolutely
informal.
It's informal.
It's informal.
Steve can answer that.
Yeah, we just decided to economize at this point and not build that truck receipt point out near Killdeer. We determined that we could still have the same level of interest without having to do that at this time.
Okay, thank you.
Okay. Jamie, you want to go to the next map?
Yeah.
What number is that? Is that
four?
Four? Okay.
Yeah. Map four, you'll notice that the adjustments toward the bottom, again, were landowner requests. Same thing. They wanted us to move away from maybe a tree row or some other feature that, again, we were trying to be willing to accommodate those. Up toward the top, that landowner, as you guys all know, there's a lot of activity going on out there. What happened from the time that we started working with the landowner and established this initial route, Bear Paw came in and put in another pipeline. Landowner says, hey, I want you to go in parallel Bear Paw pipeline. Makes sense. We understand that. So that's what that adjustment is there.
How close can you get adjacent pipelines?
Depends on the easement. Typically,
From engineering standards? I mean, what is that?
There really isn't. I mean, typically the rule of thumb is you don't want to get any closer than 20 feet, and it's mainly because you don't want, if you had a leak in one pipe, you don't want to, had a catastrophic failure, you don't want that to impact the other pipe. But there isn't any engineering guideline that says that is 20 feet. Of course, it's dependent on the soil and
codes on any of that.
Correct.
Okay. All right, thank you.
Can you put them in the same trench?
Yes, you could. And it's very common. A lot of companies are putting oil, gas, water in the same trench, so.
Okay, James, five.
Okay, on map five, again, I'm moving north on each of these maps as we go. The first change there is a fairly major change. Again, the landowners that own this property, and this is where we cross the Little Missouri River, and as we get closer to Watford City, of course, everybody has plans to develop their property. Excuse me. And so that's what happened here. When we first talked to the landowners, they were okay with the route. As things progressed, they decided that land maybe had some more value, and so they wanted us to move further to the east. And so that's what that adjustment is it moves it further along that, you know, this is where you drop off across Long X Bridge, across the Little Missouri. So this moves it further away from the Park Service as well, which is a benefit, obviously, and then gives us more of a straight shot off the bluff across Little Missouri. Again, north, just a minor reroute again at the landowner request. And then the one up to the north side of there, you can see it. What had been submitted earlier, we had a couple of crossings of Highway 85. And that was to go around a landowner that basically did not want us to cross their property, didn't want us to provide an easement. And so we were trying to work with landowners to go across the highway. In the meantime, we were able to find a much better route and stay on the east side of 85. And so, we obviously, from an engineering standpoint, it's a lot more pipe in. We have a couple crossings, and it was much more preferred to stay where we are, as well as meeting the landowner's desires in that location.
So are you still avoiding that same landowner, or is he?
Yes, we're going to the east side instead of to the west side.
Yeah, question on the, I'm pretty sure I can see where the river crossing is at, but it looks like to me that the adjusted route is a different river crossing. Am I reading the map incorrectly?
I was trying to figure out which is the river crossing, too.
Well, it looks like to me that the goal area at Roosevelt Park would be the river crossing would be just to the east of that. You can kind of see the river. It's the river on the map. It's kind of faded.
Yeah, you're crossing the river.
Yes, it changed. Yeah, you're correct, Commissioner. If you take that line, which is the township line, mm-hmm. that's pretty close to where the river crossing was going to be. So the river crossing adjusted to the east a little bit from where it was before.
Okay,
right.
Then I guess that opens up some questions about the river crossing, because during the hearing I remember a lot of discussion about the river crossing, about where the shutoff valves would be at and the different terrain coming in and out. I mean, is there some more detail that you could provide about the river crossing? Because it's got to be different. I mean, it's one thing moving at 200 feet in a field. It's another thing moving it, this looks to be more than 200 feet in a river crossing, if there's something that we should be aware of, any of the...
We can provide you the drawings really didn't change. We still have valves on both sides of the river. We're still boring the river. So it truly doesn't change anything other than physically the location of where it's at.
James, would those issues be addressed in the amendment to the wetlands and water crossings?
The route is on, yes, in the route and the discussion, both the cultural and the wetland, but You know, I don't know if I provide you another drawing that it would look any different than what we already have. You know what I mean? In terms of the distance or the depth under the river.
I think you answered a lot of my questions just to make sure that the equivalent type setbacks for shutoffs and the double wall piping, there's nothing that's different about this river crossing than there was the one that was originally testified to.
Correct.
It might even be a little gentle, more gentle area, as I recall.
Because before that was very steep, and I think we asked during the hearing, we said, why couldn't you go farther to the east? And the question was, well, we couldn't get landowner approval at that time. So this one, I think Kevin's right in the mark, it is probably less impact.
Could you point out for me where that is on this map?
I think that's what I guess. Right there.
Yeah.
Right along this township line is roughly where that river crossing is.
Wow, that's really okay. All right, thank you.
Yeah, thank you. That was all that I had on that.
Okay, let's go to map six, James.
All right, map six. Obviously, this is the largest change by far. As any of you know that have been up to Watford City in the last few months, it's crazy. When we had started this project, a couple years ago, this route seemed to be the most reasonable route. We quickly got caught up in all of the development. Matter of fact, we were out at one point staking the center line and found that it went through like the middle of a foundation of a house that was going up. So land was changing hands so quickly. The number of landowners was much higher. So we decided that there's no way that we're probably going to be able to make it through there using that original route. And so we decided to move further away from Watford City and all of that development, which is how we kind of came up with the route that is shown here.
So the straight east of Watford City, little green dot, that must be the golf course there from Watford City. I'm trying to get a feel for how far east of Watford City this is, that truck fuel spot east of town. I'm trying to think if we've moved this thing far enough east.
There is a legend, Commissioner. It looks like half an inch. Could be about a half a mile.
Okay. That's a township, right?
Yes, this is a township. These are township lines.
But, I mean, are you confident you've moved this far enough to the east and the south? That?
Yes, we are. We have 100% of the landowners along this alignment have signed easements. Okay. Now, it doesn't mean that, you know, they might not have ideas later on to do something else, but our easement's in place. So,
when would this construction here potentially be completed, this particular spot around Watford City, if everything goes well?
End of the year.
Okay. All right. So we're talking a relatively quick time.
Yes.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. Seven.
And these next two really... seven and eight are very similar. Again, what happened is it was a combination of a couple of things. One, some landowners that initially were receptive and then changed their mind and decided that they didn't want a pipeline on their land, and other landowners that didn't have a problem with it, but they owned lands on both sides of Highway 23 and preferred to go a little bit different location. So that's what the change that you see here is basically... going around a landowner that had refusal and then adjusting with the remaining landowners. As you know, there's a kind of a domino effect. You got one that holds you out, and then you got to go back and adjust that alignment. So we had to go back to the landowners and get agreement on where they wanted that route adjusted to.
Okay, map eight?
In map eight, same thing. A lot of these were the same landowners on both sides. Again, we had a person there that decided they did not want to provide an easement, so we needed to make some adjustments, and then that carried out to the landowners on either side, and then this is what was agreed upon.
So it's a fair statement, is it not, that all of the adjustments that you talked about that you're proposing to be approved by the commission today were made as a result of getting landowner approval or meeting landowner requests?
With the exception of the Watford City route because of the development, correct?
Yes. Now, you you probably heard in my introductory remarks the issue with respect to the fact that the order and the corridor certificate and the route permit were conditioned upon final SHPO approval.
Yes.
Can you discuss for us just very briefly what has been filed with the commission with respect to those issues?
As Lawrence mentioned before, what we got just on the 27th, we got two documents. One was the letter from the BLM, which they are the, because they're crossing federal land, the BLM is the lead agency for the environmental assessment, and therefore BLM needs to take the lead on the cultural as well. So BLM provided a review of all the cultural reports and analysis that was done. They gave their approval of those reports, provided those to the SHPO's office. The other document that has been provided has then been SHPO's concurrence and acceptance of that letter from BLM, which basically says that there are no historic properties affected.
I don't think I have any more questions for Mr. Todd. We'd offer the index map and map 1 through 8. And if there are other questions, we do have Steve Greiser with us, who's the president of the Bakken Link, and he can address those questions, hopefully. He's going to answer the tough questions.
Okay, well, thank you for the offering those exhibits. I don't have any particular questions.
You know, maybe just, Steve, since we have you, a little bit of an update on, because this has been a very long process, as you know better than we do. And what we're talking about today is just sort of the south of the reservoir portion. What's your intended capacity for that? Is that still 100,000 barrels per day?
Well, 12-inch pipeline, we're saying nominal capacity 60 to 65,000 barrels a day. You add the pump stations to it, which is, it would be in the future, could be 100,000 barrels a day.
And the reason I ask, I mean, I assumed so, and the reason I ask it is just kind of gets back a little bit to my opening comments, is that I don't know if staff has any big, maybe before I say anything, I ask Pat. Pat, I mean, is there anything you're dying to ask, or is there anything you need clarification on?
I have a couple questions.
Why don't you go ahead and ask those first, and then I'll make some comments.
I just had a couple of questions about the SHPO letter. I mean, I'm not sure I understand the timing. It looks like that there may have been some addendum filed with the SHPO. Is this an addendum that was filed with the SHPO? This
correct.
And then did they review that?
Correct.
And the letter that they, where they confirmed that there are no impact, that letter covers all the addendums?
Correct. There's the regular report, addendum 1, addendum 2. All three of those are referenced in both the BLM's letter and the SHPO concurrence letter.
Okay. Very good. The corridor itself, now, for field studies, when you went back out to do the field studies on these other reroutes, did you do a 200-foot field study corridor on those reroutes?
Yes, we did. And actually, even on the cultural, some of the cultural, we went ahead and did 500 feet because of what we were running into with adjustments that landowners wanted. We said we'd hate to keep going back. Let's just go ahead and widen that out. So several locations for cultural, we did 500. Wetland delineation, primarily, we stuck with 200 feet.
Okay. It's just because Steve Greiser started believing that every winter was going to be worse than the previous one until this year finally could get some work done.
I'm thinking that the order just approves a 200-foot corridor along the route, the entire route. And if the new order said 200-foot corridor, would there be some areas where you'd want a wider corridor that you studied 500 feet?
Yes, we would prefer that.
I guess the best way, I think, to do it would be to have you file a map of the corridor that you are asking the commission to approve.
Okay.
Perhaps with a, when you file a proposed order.
Right.
I'm assuming you're going
to
do that.
Attached to the proposed order.
Right.
Okay.
With the new route as well.
How would that be reflected in the order then, Pat? Will we be able to say 200-foot corridor except where the map indicates wider, or how would we?
Well, I would just reference the map,
the map as
in the order.
Okay.
Like we did in the Minn Kota one.
Okay. Yeah.
Good catch, Pat.
And then, well, you know, in the certification to order provisions, it says, you know, that you'll file a GIS of the approved corridor within 3 months after the order, but I don't know if you'd be able to file that right away, but you'd still have that 3 months to file
a GIS. I think we talked briefly about that yesterday, and we think that's been filed, hasn't it? Or
I would have to, I'd have to verify that, okay. But it shouldn't be a problem, sure, Pat, okay. To do that very rapidly, because the way that we do all of our easements and all of our design, that information is captured immediately through our GIS, so we would be able to provide that very, very quickly.
That's all I have. Thanks.
Mark, did you have anything? Commissioner Fitch?
I do not.
Then what I was going to say is this, you've been patient. I think we've all been patient, but you've done it the right way. I mean, you've worked with landowners. We have not heard from any, have we, Pat? We've not heard from any yet since this. So we have, here's what I want to get to. I want to get to the process going forward. And assuming, Lawrence, you're going to have an amended order. I don't even know what we do. Do we just issue a new order, or do we just issue amended to the existing order, whatever the case may be? And I haven't discussed this, obviously, with either of my colleagues, but this is a really – this is kind of a big deal. And the reason I say that – I don't suppose I have to tell you, but it is 100 – it is 65, anyway, 1,000 barrels per day. In a situation, as I look at it and as I understand it, that's – probably got more of a localized impact of highway relief or road relief than most lines this size. My point being, if we could, do we have to wait till 5 o'clock for comment? Okay.
I see where you're going on.
Do you see
concur,
what I'm saying?
Just like we did before.
I don't know if you guys are ready. I don't know, you know, if. But if we're able, I'd like to push this thing out. We just had a meeting today. That's why I bring this up. Because we had a meeting today, our next meeting isn't until
September 12th.
September 12th. That's 2 weeks of warm weather. So I don't know what your construction season is looking like, but would there be a possibility we could push this order out rather quickly? And would it matter to you?
You want me to start and then you?
I mean, the sooner the better, yeah. Obviously. Okay. I mean, you know, there's a lot of details put together in order to say we're going to start construction, but, you know, we're days or maybe a couple of weeks away from starting construction. So, you know, if we can get this hurdle out of the way, it obviously helps our planning.
Would there be a difference between a special meeting Friday afternoon or Tuesday morning?
No.
And that's what I was going to get to. Yeah. There's urgency, but I don't think it's so urgent that we need it at 5:01 Friday.
You're not going to put guys to work on Saturday morning to get this thing started?
It's a holiday weekend.
Okay, that's fine. And that's really was – Brian's right. That's my question. Is it, how urgent is it? And
no, I appreciate the offer. But
and perhaps next Tuesday or Wednesday, I think that would that would work.
I agree.
Because as we've talked numerous times, the more pipelines we build, the more trucks come off the road. Period.
Well, that's right. And, you know, the window for the good pipeline construction season is, you know, getting smaller and smaller every day. So,
Commissioner, you brought up a point that I was starting to gel in my mind. How much highway relief will this provide?
It's a lot of trucks from here.
How much truck relief? Can you give me an estimate? How many trucks it'll take
off
the
road? Carries 200 barrels. Yeah.
Right. 200 divided into 100,000.
Yeah. So, well, let's say 60,000. That'd be 300 trucks, right? 300. Potentially.
Remember, commissioners, I'm gone next Tuesday.
Through technology, I bet we can get a hold of you, Commissioner. We've had meetings where all three of us have been in calling in as long as we have it. Pat, would you see any hurdles we can overcome to do a special meeting next Tuesday?
Well,
as long as.
Yeah, Chris,
okay. Sure.
We can be really efficient. Everybody's gone. Mm-hmm. We'll get her done.
Well, we'll shoot for something early next week if you can make it all happen. Sure. And if we can't, then we'll go from there.
And Pat, I assume you're still going to expect me to do a proposed order.
I was
going to
say, yeah, the heavy lifting will be done.
Okay. With that, did you have anything else?
No, I just.
Anything else for the good of the order? All right. With that, I will close the informal on case number PU 10218. And let's reset for case number PU 10554. Thank you.